The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And he has ascended far above the heavens to reign over all things. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen. I look around and I see a few who are here because it's Mother's Day and you're here to honor your mothers, and that's a good thing. I know that that makes your mothers glad. But really, in one sense, all of us here have assembled to honor our mother, to remember everything that our mother has done for us, to continue to receive what she has to give to us. She has to give to us the bread of life. She presents to us Christ, our Savior. She is the one in whose kitchen, you could say, the meal of the Holy Supper of his body and blood is prepared. And the mother I speak of is, of course, the bride of Christ, spoken of in today's reading from Revelation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. And the place to which those who are thirsty come, the place to which those who desire the water of life come, is no place other than the Holy Christian Church, because it is in the church where Jesus has promised to be found. It is in the church, Christ's redeemed people, where Jesus is present in a wonderful, marvelous, loving way, in his body, in his blood, in the preaching of his word. In honoring our mother, the church, our spiritual mother, we honor the church's bridegroom. We honor Christ because he has established the church. He is the one who called the Holy Christian Church into being through his word, through his death on the cross, through that spear thrust into his side, and the water and the blood flowed out. We are here today as members of the Bride of Christ, but as also children of the church. For the church brought us to birth at the font of holy baptism, new birth in Christ. The church has sustained each one of us with the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of God's word and the administration of the sacraments. We are here as one people in Christ. And that is a marvelous thing. Did you know Jesus prayed for you in today's reading from the Gospel of St. John? Yeah, Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for me. He prayed for your forebears. He prayed for your children and your grandchildren. He prayed for all Christians in the generations that would follow the apostolic generation. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer from St. John chapter 17, I do not ask for these only, that is, only for the apostles, the 12 disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. We have the apostolic prophetic word in the Holy Scriptures. We have the privilege, and privilege it is, of hearing the apostolic prophetic word read in pretty sizable portions each and every time we assemble around the word and the sacrament for worship. That apostolic word, that prophetic word, focuses on Jesus. It focuses upon everything he has done to bring his church into being and to make you a member of the Holy Christian Church. It focuses upon God become man, come down to our level as one of us, to lift us up to heaven as God's own dear children by being our vicar, our substitute, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the one in whom we are sanctified, the one in whom we are justified, the one alone in whom we have fellowship with God. So yes, Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for his church. And listen to what it is he prays, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, as we know from the Scriptures and from the creeds, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is one substance with the Father. He is one with the Father. There is a differentiation in persons, but one divine essence, one divine substance. And so it is with the Holy Spirit as well. God is one, but he is three in one. Three divine persons, one divine essence, one God. There is unity within the Godhead. Unity of substance, unity of purpose, unity of will, unity of love, as their love, the love of the three persons of the Trinity, overflows to one another. And out of that love comes love for you and me. Out of that love comes the creation of the universe. Out of that love comes the desire and the will and the determination to redeem a fallen universe and make all things new. And it's happening right here. Yeah, right here. This fallen universe, the fallen people gathered here, are in the process of being made new by the triune God. All who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation, Paul says. The old is gone. It's out the door. Forget about it. It ain't coming back. The new has come. And that newness is found in Jesus and his gospel. I look around and I see people I have known for years. I see people whom I've had the privilege to bring the comfort of the gospel to in illness, or when a loved one has died, or when troubles come upon you. I see the people of God in Christ Jesus. And you look at me, and you see a pastor with failings. But I too am one of God's people in Christ. I look at you and see how the young ones among you have grown up. The adults have grown older, and you can see that looking at me. But despite that fact, the new creation is still present among us. And we participate equally in that new creation through our baptism into Christ. We participate equally in that new creation as together we hear the absolving word of grace in the gospel. We participate together equally in that new creation as we come to the supper of redemption, the holy supper of Jesus' body and blood. For where the crucified, resurrected Christ is present, behold, he is making all things new, just as he promised in the book of Revelation. And that, dear friends, is what counts. Not family ties so much. Yes, family ties are important. Family is a gift from God. Friends are a gift from God, but the greatest gift of God is the unity that we as a body of believers have with one another. A unity of faith, a unity of confession, a unity of love. And that is what counts. Jesus prays for his whole church, that they may all be one, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. But you know what? If he prays that for the whole church, he prays that for us at Mount Olive too, that we may be one. Again, one in doctrine, one in confession, one in faith, one in baptism, one in the Lord Jesus Christ, under one Father, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it's important. It's important that we truly be one. Why? So that the world may know that God the Father sent his Son, so that the world may know that God the Father loved us even as he loved his Son, so that the world may know that here the love of God is present because Christ is present. And we embrace one another in a unity of love and faith, and welcome others into the fellowship of this congregation. That's why we are to be one. That's why Jesus has made us one. Not for our own benefit so much, although we certainly benefit from it, but so that the gospel can sound with clarion call from this pulpit and echo in your minds and hearts and flow from your lips as you speak of Christ to others, so that the world may know that God has sent his Son into the world. Jesus goes on to say, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, of course, Jesus is saying that his desire, his overwhelming and great heartfelt desire, is that his church would be gathered together with him in heaven. But you know what? We have the privilege of being with Jesus today, with him where he is. Because even though he has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, he is not absent with us. We don't have to stress and strain to reach him. He comes to us. He comes down to us, just as he came down from heaven in the incarnation. Christ is here for you today. Here in this word I'm preaching, here in the inscripturated word that you heard, here in the gift of his body and blood for you. Christ is truly here for you. And as you come to the altar today, you do so in that unity that he speaks of, a unity of faith, a unity of love, a unity of purpose, a unity of devotion, a unity that Christ alone, working through the Holy Spirit who works through the gospel, can establish. Christ prays that we would see the glory that his Father has given him. And we catch glimpses of that glory in the divine service. Glory be to God on high. Glory to his Son. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. We behold the glory of the God who loved us so much. He interacted with us even though we had gone astray, even though we had spit in his face and turned our backs upon him. God was not content to let us go, wander off headlong into hell. And so he sent his Son for you, Wilma, for you, Bob, and for you, Claudette, for you, Trilby. For every one of you, each and every one of you, so that in the church you can be one with that holy Christian apostolic faith we confess, so that you can be one together in the love of God that has forgiven you your sins and forgiven your fellow Christian sins, so we can forgive one another our sins. And in the love that has made us, you and me, God's people forever. It would be a good thing for us to pray after our Lord's example, that the church may be one, that the church would not be rent asunder by false teaching or by hypocrisy or by gossip or by flagrant sin, but that we would all be gathered together as one around the altar of Christ, as we will certainly be gathered together as one around the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.